Hi guys, welcome to the fourth video of this series. I still have a little bit of a cold, as you can hear, but I'm alive and I don't have the virus. Hello! And that's all that matters. So, what's up? So today, we're going to be talking about the acting industry, obviously. This is a little bright for me. Hold on. This is like dying, killing my eyes. Okay, there we go. I can see, kind of. Maybe I'll make it a little brighter. Okay, that's good. I like that. So today we're going to be talking about what do agents look for. So if you're an actor and you're tuning in, you might learn something. If you're not an actor, you'll still learn something, but it'll be more relevant to you if you are an actor. So thanks for tuning in. I appreciate you coming here and being here with me. So basically, we're going to be talking about what do agents look for. So this is a question that's probably a very common question in the industry for actors, models, etc., whatever. Basically, an agent, what is an agent? Let's talk about what an agent is first. Let's get down to basics, okay? So an agent is somebody who is in the acting profession, and they are promoting you and your brand, which is you, to be auditioning for roles that are right for your type and your brand, and what's currently on the market with casting, to casting directors and producers. Mostly casting directors, not many producers, but sometimes some producers can be in there. So basically what they do is they pitch you or they submit you. So what is submitting? Well, submitting is something that every actor is very familiar with. You do it every single day, whether it's on Actors Access, backstage, casting networks, playbills, or just people you know. So submitting is basically you're constantly at a job interview, and that's what being an actor is. Auditioning, yay! So you're basically like, I was actually talking to my friend earlier today on FaceTime, and she was like, oh my God, applying for a job is a full-time job. And I was like, listen, I know, because my job is an actor and my full-time job is looking for jobs. So you better know that when you sign up for this industry, because I hope you like being interviewed, basically auditioning. Whatever way you want to look at it, that's the way it is. So basically, an agent is someone who's taking you on to their roster. I'll get into what a roster is. Actually, I'll tell you right now. A roster is a list of clients they have under their company. So let's say, example, their DDO, their Abrams, now it's known as A3 Talent. There's so many different agencies and companies out there, but they're part of this company, and they basically have a long list of people that they represent. Basically saying, I support this person's career. I want this person to succeed. I want you to cast this person so they're under my wing. Basically, they're under my wing. And this is my people who I have. Now, do I have a lot of women who have green eyes and dark brown hair? Hopefully, I don't have that many. Because if they do, and you are that type, which is me, I'm using myself as an example, it's going to be a little hard to be with that agency, to get booked, get signed, because there's going to be too many people of your same look, and it's going to be too saturated of a market. What is saturation of the market? I'll tell you. Saturation of the market is basically like how, for example, okay, so right now, Apple just released their new iPhone. Now, besides the 40 million people who are unemployed due to this coronavirus and our country's handling of it, how many people are going to be buying the new iPhone this year as compared to last year? Hello, everybody! I don't really think that many, in my opinion. Now, why do I think not many people will be buying the iPhone? Well, I think it's a saturated market. What does that mean? That means that everybody who is going to buy the iPhone either already has it or is not in the market because they already have the iPhone, right? So, for example, if you're applying as an actor for an agency who has a lot of girls who have dark hair and have green eyes, you're probably not going to get booked by them because they already have that many people in the agency, in their roster, and they don't need more people to look like you. Now, that's not to say to be discouraged, because of course there's many people who have dark hair and green eyes, many blonde, blue-eyed people. Now, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying is that you could have something you bring different to the table. Now, let's say you're, quote, ethnically ambiguous, right? And that is a thing in the industry right now. What does ethnically ambiguous mean? Ethnically ambiguous means you're biracial, you're mixed race, you are black and white, you're Asian and white, you're Hispanic and white, you're Hispanic and black, you're Asian and Black, you're Hispanic and Asian, you're Native American, you're anything that's not one race and you look mixed or you look different. I am ethnically ambiguous. I am biracial. I am multiracial. And that is part of my casting because according to my casting, now this is not saying that I am this ethnicity. This is saying that I can look this ethnicity so I could play this ethnicity. And nowadays it's a little tricky because everything's being changed with the whole racial inclusivity happening where it's like, okay, if you're Asian and you're playing a role that's Korean, you should be Korean. But if there's nobody else who can audition who is Asian, should a white person play an Asian person? No, of course not. But can an Asian person play a Korean person? Yes, they're still Asian. You see what I'm saying there? So basically, if you're auditioning for an agent, meaning you're submitting, you're having a meeting, you want to see if you guys click, you want to see if they have anybody that looks like you, and a tool to do this is to go on IMDb Pro. You have to pay for that. You can pay for it if you want. You don't have to. I mean, this is just a tip if you want to do it. And you can look at their roster, everyone they have, and look at the headshots, and you can see if anyone looks like you. And if they look like you, don't worry. You go to that person's website because they're a professional actor and they have a website. Okay, great. You go to their website and you look at their reel, which is their resume on video, basically. And you're going to say, oh, I wonder if they're the same type as me. Like, okay, so we all know that I'm comedic, right? I'm, like, funny. Okay, cool. So if someone goes to my website, they're going to see my comedic material. And if someone looks like me, they're not going to look like me because I'm ethnically ambiguous. But let's say if they did. Okay, let's say they did. So they look like me, and they're going to go to my website, and they're going to see that I'm comedic. And if they're not comedic, that means that they might have a better chance of being signed and not necessarily being in competition with me. So the agent's not having a conflict of interest of having too many people look the same who play the same roles. Because how can they submit two different women who look the same and play the same roles when they're trying to get booked and get signed? That's going to confuse them and confuse the cast director. And when the cast director is already getting so many different actors sent to them and they don't want to get too many of the same, they know that if they get this agency, they're going to get a specific tier of talent. Meaning, if you're signed with one agency, the casting director is going to expect a certain level of talent. There's different types of agencies that are better and not as good depending on your career moves, depending on where you're at in your career. For example, if you're in the beginning part of your career, right, and you don't have any professional credits, you want to get with a smaller agency, a boutique agency. Now, you could also get with a large agency. That's up to you. But the casting directors who are getting the actors from that agency that are higher up, like Timothy Chalamet's type of agencies, they're gonna wonder what other actors are signed with them. Maybe like it's like Cate Blanchett. They're not gonna expect someone that's no name who you don't know. That would confuse them. So that's just different. I mean, honestly, it depends on your preference. Boutique is smaller, that's what that means. Or if you want a larger agency that's represented by a lot of different people. But there's also there's also a theory. It's like, okay, well, if you are someone a larger tier of talent, larger tier agency, are you going to be represented? Are you going to be thought about? Or are you going to get lost in the sauce because there's too many actors that they're representing and they're not thinking about you? So the most important thing is in this life, in this world we live in this relationship of this business of acting and agents, is you want to make sure that you're communicating and you're clear and then you guys click. Having an agent is like having a relationship. And I'm not talking about a friendship. I'm not talking about a business relationship. I'm talking about an acting romantic relationship. I'm not saying you're going to be romantic with your agent. Don't do that. I'm saying that your agent, you must click as if you're dating. You must like love your agent. Your agent must love you because you have to grow together. And that's life. But you have to make sure that you're both supporting each other. Hello, what's up? We're talking about acting and agencies. So when you're auditioning for an agent, you're basically going for coffee on the first date. And you're like, yo, what's up? My name's Sophia. I'm going to get us a chai tea latte. What can I get you? Just kidding. You're not going to say that. That's me. Okay. No, you're going to say, you're basically going to give them a monologue or a scene or sides or a scene. Things are happening digitally. You can do things digitally too. Normally it's in person, but you know, a virus is preventing us from doing that. But basically you're going to go in and you're going to give them a little sample of who you are as a performer and as a human. Now, they don't want to just see who you are as an actor. They obviously know you're an actor and there's a million actors. They want to see who you are as a human. So they're going to ask you questions like this, and you better be ready. What's your story? So tell me a little about yourself. Where are you from? What are your hobbies? What do you like to do for fun? What projects are you working on? What casting directors know you right now? What have I seen you in? Do you have any special skills? What professional credits do you have? If I Google you, what will I see? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? What 5 shows can I see you on right now that I can submit you to either on Netflix, NBC, CBS, ABC, Hulu, Amazon Prime, Peacock, Apple TV, and any other streaming service that I left out, which I definitely did. Roku, I think that's another one. Yeah, there's so many different ones now. It's called the Streaming Wars. But basically, you want to be ready for this interview. And what I've done is, so I actually, in February, in another world, I was looking for agents. And what I did was I said, hi, my name's Sophia. I'm going to do a monologue or sides. I gave them my resume and headshot. And I literally also attached to my resume and headshot a list of every casting director who I've worked with, who I've auditioned for, who I've met through a meet and greet, who knows my work. Whether I met them once, twice, 3 times, 4 times, whatever, taking a class with them, whatever. And I wrote class, auditioned, meet and greet. And I let them know, hey, I'm Sophia. This is what I have to bring to the table for you. And this is who I know in the industry. And this is who knows me in the industry. So when I come to the interview or the audition or the meet and greet for this agent, they already know that I have things to tell them that other actors might not know. They might know that I'm very serious about my business and that I really care about this and I'm very serious about getting signed by them, but I'm also interviewing them as much as they're interviewing me. Remember that. You, whenever you go on a job interview, whenever you go on a first date, whenever you go on an audition, whenever you go on anything that's a interview type thing, you are, even if you're the person who's being interviewed, you're still interviewing them as much as they're interviewing you. And I really want you guys to remember that. Roommates, anything. Because honestly, if you think about it, do you want to work with this person? Do you see yourself being a good fit? Do you see yourself emailing them and feeling comfortable saying, hey, can you make sure I got in for this project? Or, hey, I'm not sure if I'm in this for this project, but my friend just told me about this project and I think I'd be really great in the new Pete Davidson movie. You know what I mean? So it's basically those kind of things. Because agents are like actors, are like casting directors, where they don't get paid until they book. But they're not booking. You're booking. So what's really important here is to remember that you are their meal ticket. You are money to them. And I'm not saying that to dumb you down into a piece of meat. No, not at all. I'm empowering you by letting you know that you are basically telling them, yo, I booked Walmart and Marvel's on my own, so I want you to know that I can book more if I have you rooting for me. So let me tell you what I can bring to the table and let me tell you how I can make you money. Now, you don't really say that, but this is all like your inner monologue. This is what you're thinking in the day. This is what you're thinking when you're in the audition, when you're in the room. You're like, okay, well, I actually got that on my own. Yeah, I'm working on this project. I have this web series. You wanna make yourself sound good. You wanna make yourself sound busy. Like, not busy like you're constantly scheduled, but busy as like you have things going on. You're taking the initiative. You're doing things on your own. You're not waiting for someone to cast. You're not waiting for someone to call you when you're sitting on the couch and you're like, I wonder when I'm gonna get booked for my next acting role. And then you're like, oh my God, someone's calling me. Because guess what? That never happens. I mean, maybe it does, but not really. Okay, let's be honest. Let's be realistic. Thank you. So, what I'm basically saying is, do you like this person? Think about that. You know what I mean? Like, can you see yourself having a working relationship with this person? Because this person, depending on how they want to operate business with you, there's some agents who work very close with their clients. They want to know if you have a dentist appointment on Tuesday at 4 o'clock. They want to know when you're going away for your birthday trip. If you have birthday trips. Oh, wait, you can't go on them because you broke your leg and are not going to the Grand Canyon. I'm kidding. That's just me. Okay. No, they want to know everything about you because they want to know if they can send you to projects and you're going to be like, hey, so you got booked for NBC's new show. Can you make it tomorrow at 4 o'clock? Oh, I actually have dinner and drinks with a friend. Like, they don't care, okay? Or, oh, I'm actually going to Colorado for the weekend. What? You didn't tell me that. No, you do not want to have that kind of relationship. So what the most important thing is, no matter what kind of relationship they have, they want, whether it's really communicative and you're constantly talking to each other, whether it's not communicative and you're just like, oh, I guess they're submitting me, depending on what you want. I don't like that kind of relationship, but that's me. I'm very much like, assertive, communicative. Let's be honest. Like, I don't do that passive aggressive texting thing. I'm like, yo, face to face, FaceTime, whatever you want to do. Thanks, Rona. Like, let's make it work. So what I'm basically saying is that if you're going to go away for a week in November, you need to tell them, hey, I'm not going to be available this week. So don't submit me for projects that I could audition for or I could book. Because then if you book it or if they give you an audition, they're going to be like, why are you not communicating with me? Right? Now, other people might be like, no, we don't want to hear anything that's going on in your life. We'll submit you and we'll call you when we have something for you. It really depends. And you have to ask these questions up front. You got to be like, hey, so what kind of relationship do you like? Do you want me to email you? Do you want me to call you? Do you want me to text you? Do you want me to call your assistant? Do you want to talk at all? Or do I just trust that you're doing this? You know, there's also a thing called a submission report or a talent report, which you can ask for if you don't feel comfortable, like you're getting submitted correctly. Hello. Oh my God, you're here. What's up? We're talking about acting. So basically you can ask them for a talent report to make sure that they're submitting you for the right types of roles. So I actually asked for this multiple times. I asked for it every 6 months because I'm like, I want to make sure I'm getting in the right rooms. And besides just checking up on them, making sure they're doing their job right for who I am and how I'm being seen in the industry, I also want to know that I know who I need to be going out of my way to meet. Like, if I want to be on Orange is the New Black, I mean, it's no longer on, but, you know, the casting directors are still working and they're producing new content. I want to make sure I'm on that casting director's radar. So I want to make sure I know what she's casting, who she's casting, what kind of role she's casting. I'm going to be like, okay, let me look her up. Okay, what networking events is she going to? Okay, let me register for this event. Let me meet her. You know, it's all about being strategic about the money you're spending, because yes, you're going to be spending money in this industry and it's going to be expensive, but you're running your own industry and you are your own boss and you are your own CEO. So you want to make sure that you're staying on top of that. And you want to make sure you're not spending your money and just being like, oh, well, I heard I should meet this casting director because I heard they're doing good work, but I don't really know if it's good for me. Remember, it could be good for your other friends. That's awesome. Let them do their thing. But you have to ask yourself and be honest, is this casting director right for me to meet? Should I be meeting this casting director? I don't know. You got to look at your roles. You got to look at your brand. You got to look at your type. So basically be honest about your agency relationship, all that kind of stuff. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about managers. This isn't mentioned in the topic. It's just what do agents look for, but this manager thing is also very important. So what's the difference between an agent and a manager? An agent and a manager are basically the same thing, only there's different types of commission splits and contracts. So agents, you can be freelance or you can be signed. Basically what that means is that, so in New York, we only do freelance and signed, and in LA, they only do signed. I don't know why, I haven't been to LA, I'm a New Yorker, but that's just the way it is. So I don't know, commitment problems in New York. So basically you can freelance, meaning you're not signed by this agent, but they're still rooting for you and they're still sending you out, but you don't have a contractual obligation. They could drop you and you could drop them anytime. It's basically like friends with benefits, you know? Okay, great. And then there's signed, which is where you're in a relationship. You're like, yo, this is my bae. Like, this is my boyfriend. This is my girlfriend. This is my wife. But like, you're still under a certain obligation. Meaning like the contract can be a year, 2 years, even longer. Agents are normally like 1 year, 2 years. Managers can be more than 2 years, can be 1 year. And managers, normally, they want you to pay them no matter what you book, whether it's through you, yourself, by yourself, without them, or through them. That's kind of like up in the air. Like if you really want to like make sure that you're paying them, I mean, that's like your own thing. I don't know who's going to check that. But that's a lot to be asking your clients to pay you even if you didn't book it for them. These are all things to think about, all things to discuss and talk about. Also, there's auto-renewing. Your contracts can auto-renew if you didn't renew them yourself. So make sure you're staying on top of that if you don't work with the person anymore, because it'll be automatic renew like a subscription program and you didn't forget to cancel your free trial. And it's like, oh my God, now I'm in for another year. Great. So you want to make sure you have that. Like you read all the fine print. I said this last time. Make sure you're reading the fine print. I know it's annoying. I know we're not lawyers. I know we're not accountants. We're artists and we don't like to read fine print. But guess what? That fine print will bite us in the booty if we do not keep up with it. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Thank you. You got to do that hard work. You got to do that homework, that paperwork that nobody wants to do. You know what I'm saying? So, make sure you're reading the fine print. managers can take a little more commission. They can take 15%. Agents normally take 10%. And modeling managers can actually take 20%. If any agency or modeling place asks you for money up front to sign you or freelance with you as a representative for your talent, they're not offering you classes, they're just representing you to sign you and book you out, submit you, that's not good. If they're offering you classes or headshots or services that can be used for your career, then that's normal for them to ask for money. If they're referring you to a specific headshot photographer, a specific coach, that's going to cost you. Of course it is. Be kind of weird if it didn't, right? So these are all things to think about. Okay, cool. I'm glad we addressed that. So to get a manager or an agent, honestly, it's really an individual preference. It's really great to have both, to have a team of people working for you. I have an agent who I freelance with for modeling, and I have a manager who I work with for acting, modeling, and voiceover who I'm signed with. And I'm signed with for 2 years, and I'm in my second year as of February this year. Yeah, exactly. So basically what I want to say is that it's up to you guys to figure it out. You want to make sure you look up reviews of the place, make sure it's not like scammy, make sure there's people that maybe you can reach out to via email, LinkedIn, Instagram, DM, whatever you want to find. Be like, hey, how do you like working with this person? Or if you know someone, referrals is a great way to get an agent or a manager. It's how I got my manager. I had a friend from work who's an actor who referred me to his manager, and I got signed to my manager. So that's great. There's different ways to get around it. You know, referrals are probably the number one way. Meeting people in person is great. You have to be careful because some agents and managers will just go to these meet and greets and they just want to pick up a paycheck. You really don't know anyone's intentions. You don't know if they're actually looking for talent, but there's really no way to know that. So you need to just show up anyway. You know, why not? Hello, everybody who's here. I don't even know who's here, but I can't see everyone. But if you have any questions, please write them in the chat. Hello, what's up? I'm going to look at my notes. This is about what do agents look for. So what do agents look for? Okay, let's actually answer the question, shall we? So agents look for you. They want you to be uniquely you. They want you to be authentic. I said this, they want to be you as a human, not just as an actor. So look for you, authentic, genuine, your type, your brand. They're going to say, what roles do you play? What are words that describe you? You need to know these off the top of your head. Like, you need to know your brand. Like, okay, if you think of the brand Nike and close your eyes right now and you think of the brand Nike, what are words you think of? If you have words, write them in the chat. Okay, good. Yeah, exactly. So, words that I think of for Nike are fast, resilient, athletic, strong, determined, dedicated. These words just came to my head. Okay, let's switch gears. Let's think of Sephora. Pretty, feminine, makeup, beauty, aesthetic oriented, trendy, new, fresh, gorgeous, good. There's another one. Hello, Berlettis. We're talking about the acting industry and agents and what do they look for? So just like Sephora and Nike have specific adjectives that come to your mind, I want you to think of specific adjectives that come to your mind when you think about yourself. Now, write those down. Write down like 5 words you think of. Cool. Have them. Thank you. Great. Here's an exercise you guys can do after this webinar in your life. Take a week. Do it. Text your friends. Talk to your friends. See your friends. FaceTime your friends. However you communicate with your friends, somehow communicate with them. And ask them, your close friends. Ask 3 close friends. If you don't have 3 close friends, ask 1 close friend. Ask your mother. I don't care. Ask someone who really is close with you and say, hey, can you give me 3 adjectives to describe me? Positive or negative, you're not going to offend me. This is for an acting exercise for my brand, my type. Cool. Write those down. Then you're going to go up to a acquaintance, someone you work with, someone you work out with, someone you know, your mail lady, the cashier at the grocery store, who you see every week, whoever. You're going to be like, hey, can you give me an adjective to describe me? Thank you so much. They're going to give them to you. You're going to write them down. Okay, then this is the fun part. And yes, I've done this exercise, including this part. You're going to go up to a stranger, someone on the train, someone you're walking down the street with, some guy whose dog you're petting. I don't really know. Whatever. And you're going to say, hey, I know you don't know me.
and I don't know you. And I'm not trying to flirt with you. I just want you to give me 3 adjectives for an acting exercise. This is New York, and I'm an actor. Or wherever you live. Okay, great. Done. Thank you. Write those down. See how many keep coming up that are repetitive. And see if those match the words that you describe yourself. If they do, that's awesome. If they don't, that's a little unusual. Who are you? I don't know. No, it's fine. You want to make sure that you're presenting yourself in the way that you're going to be cast. Now, some people, this is an interesting thing, some people are actors and they go in the room and they audition and they come off as someone totally different. And then some people, then who they are. Like me, I did this exercise and every adjective that someone gave me was the same. It wasn't the same word every time. It was, some of them were similar. But I presented myself in the same way to a stranger than I did to my acquaintances, than I did to my best friends. So basically, I'm putting myself out there and I'm playing the same role every time, which is just uniquely, authentically me, which I think is kind of cool because I'm not trying to act different in front of different people. I'm a very real, authentic person, as you guys know from following the channel. And it's good because in my acting roles, I go in and I play myself, right? And that's a good thing because I don't really have to try that hard. Now, some people, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be harder. Like, if you're really serious and you want to get into comedy, that's going to be, like, a little hard. It's not impossible, but it's going to be hard. So what you need to do is you need to lean in to what you automatically, by default, are. And that's going to help you in your career. That's going to help you get in the rooms easier. Charlize Theron, who's a beautiful, famous actress, who I hope you all know who she is. She's blonde. She's tall. She's amazing. I love her. I love her so much. She knew that she was not going to get in the rooms in the beginning of her career playing roles that were more, I don't know, smart, I guess is the word. She knew she was going to play roles as the blonde that had a nice body. And that was her role. She was going to be the girlfriend. And that was her thing. And she's like, you know what? I don't want to do the girlfriend, but I'm going to get in the room playing the girlfriend, and then I'll be able to expand and become these different roles. In the same way that Adam Sandler was just in Uncut Gems, and we never saw him really except for Click, if you remember that, TBT. Actually, it is Thursday, so there you go. In Click, he was serious, and Adam Sandler is a comedian, and in Uncut Gems, he played a serious role. And everyone was like, oh, this is weird. And it's like, yeah, it is weird because we're used to seeing him in a comedic role, but guess what? It's good to expand your horizon, but it's harder to expand your horizon in the beginning of your career. It's easier to lean into what you're normally going to have a little more ease of playing as opposed to going against the grain and trying to see what you can do. You know, I'm just saying that as a thing to help you out in the beginning of your career. Let me see what else I have to go over. We're almost done. I have a lot to say, as always. I could talk for hours, guys. My nose is stuffed up. Okay. When you're auditioning or submitting for an agency, it's best to not do cold, meaning you don't know them and you're just automatically sending emails. But it's okay to do that if you feel like they really have something for you that is really good and you'd be great for, like really specific casting. Like, oh my God, they're mixed and they do stage combat and they're 5'1". That's me. I have to let them know that I exist. Okay, there's an exception. But it's best to do the meet and greets or a referral, like I said. If they don't say yes, that's not a no. If they say no, that's still not a complete no. Meaning, as I said before, you can check back in 6 months and see if their roster has changed. They might have got rid of that other girl with green eyes and dark hair that looks like you. Who's to say? We don't know. Things are always changing in this industry, especially right now in this crazy world we're living in. So please keep checking in, but don't be annoying. When you want to update them in your career, make sure you actually have something good to say. Meaning, don't hit them up and be like, hey, I just want to say hi and Merry Christmas. Like, that's cute, but they're not your friends. They're working professionals who are very busy and have a lot of emails to go through. And if they happen to even open your email, praise the Lord, because they got a lot of emails. So what I'm basically trying to tell you is that when you update them and send them an email, make sure it's relevant, make sure you have something to say. Meaning, if I booked a Walmart commercial, which I did, and I emailed them, which I did, I literally put in the subject line, booked Walmart commercial, update. And it's like, oh, who's that? They booked a commercial. Let's open our email.
Oh, I remember meeting her 7 months ago. I remember meeting her 2 years ago. Oh, that's great. She's getting work on her own. Maybe I'll bring her in to see how she's doing and see what she can bring to my table and see if she can make me money on my roster. Hey, I'd love to meet with you. Can you come in for a meeting? Great. Can you send me the commercial link? Great. Can you send me your updated reel? Great. Can we connect for a phone call on Zoom? Great. These are all examples. Excuse me. What I'm trying to tell you is make sure something relevant to say. If you didn't book a Walmart commercial, cool. Nobody cares. It's all good. They do care. I'm kidding. You can say, hey, I just made a cool video that's getting a lot of buzz on YouTube. I would love for you to watch it. Here it is. I just released my web series, season one, that I created on my own. Here it is. Hey, I've gotten into comedy when I was previously in drama, and it's going really well. I would love for you to watch a stand-up clip. Here's my most recent stand-up clip. Send the link. These are all specific examples that are relevant and prove that you actually have something to say, that you're not just filling their inbox, giving them marketing emails that they don't want to see. You know what I'm saying? Because we all hate marketing emails that we don't want to see, that we're always being sent, even though we already unsubscribed. It's crazy, right? I know, guys. Okay. Let me see what else I wrote. I have a company that I would refer you guys to called Up to Date Theatricals. I can send you a link. You can use my name, Sophia Guchinoff, and you can see every agency in the area you're in and who they're looking for specifically at that time. If they're looking for brunettes with green eyes in this age range, then you can submit, and you can, they can tell you how to submit, and they can tell you the way they like to be submitted, postcards, email, phone calls, whatever. You can call them and say, who are you looking for right now? Who are you signing? We're not looking for anybody. Okay, thank you. We'll check back in 6 months. Oh, we're looking for babies only. Oh, okay. Thank you so much. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah, I think I covered everything. All right, that's it. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe. Peace out. Stay strong. Stay alive. And take deep breaths.